Welcome to the Rural Realities Podcast, presented by the Wisconsin Farm Center Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Bill Baker, and our guest today is Elaine Fraze, a Canadian farmer and farm transition specialist who helps farm families address the tough issues. As a farm transition coach, Elaine has authored 4 books and has given hope to more than 1,000 farm families. She farms in southwestern Manitoba, Canada. Her website, farmfamilycoach.com. Elaine, thank you for joining us. Let's talk about why it's such a challenge to communicate the big issues that face farm families today and bringing up important conversations that we really don't want to talk about.
Well, in my experience of coaching over 1,000 families, usually when they're asking for help, it's about communication, communication, communication. So in my world, communication is the foundation to everything. And if you're really good at sharing what you think, how you feel, what you need, what you want, I think you're going to have an amazing life and you're going to have the farm business that you've always wanted. And you're also going to have the family harmony that many, many families are seeking with. And especially in times like these, when the stress is magnified with all the struggles that people are going through, the ability to stay calm, to reach out and to ask for what you need is a really sweet skill to have. And I'm an eternal optimist. I'm very positive and have a lot of hope and empathy for farm families because I'm a farmer myself. So communication is where I think we can all improve. And even if we're doing well, we can always even get better.
Sometimes it seems some of the big issues and challenges are never really openly discussed, you know, sort of swept under the rug. Why is it that we can't discuss these difficult topics with those that we're closest to?
Well, a lot of people keep things very close to themselves because they're afraid. And so I have termed coined the term discuss the undiscussable, B-U-L-L, which is the metaphor I use with it when I use my Beanie Baby Bull as a talking stick when I do farm family facilitation. Why people don't want to talk about it is because they're afraid of conflict. So my perspective and what I would like to embrace the listeners to consider is to shift your mindset to thinking of conflict resolution as a business risk management strategy. And I wrote a blog once called Stopping the Conflict Avoidance Dance on Your Farm. And you can find that if you just Google it. But the whole point is that conflict is not a bad thing if it's done well. But unfortunately, families get into habits and patterns where it's the same old, same old. They can't talk about hard things. And when they do start to talk about it, boom, there's a blow up and people walk away. They throw a shovel or they turn and go to the barn and they avoid what needs to be dealt with because they aren't talking about the tough issues. So I've developed just a process for people to think about, well, how about attacking the issue, not the person? And the ability to also consider things from another person's perspective. So I use this tool called the Conflict Dynamic Profile that came from Sadaker College from St. Petersburg, Florida. And one of the most positive things you can do for communication is put yourself in the other person's shoe. So right now, being a 62-year-old farmer in Wisconsin, what does that feel like in June of 2020 or whenever this gets aired, right? It's tough. There's a lot of other external factors and forces going on. So the ability to put yourself in the other person's shoes would be really helpful for you to talk about tough issues, to come from curiosity. Another reason people might not want to talk is because they've been shot down in the past or their ideas have never been heard. So for instance, if you're the daughter-in-law on the farm listening to this podcast, you're going, oh, Elaine, you just don't know what my life is. Well, actually, I have some suspicions. My suspicion is that your voice is not heard at the family meeting table, that you don't have respect, and that you've given up because every time you try to communicate, you get pushed away or you don't feel like your voice is heard. So there's a myriad of reasons. We could probably spend the next 50 minutes just talking about all the reasons why folks don't talk about it. But a lot of it has to do with being afraid. Their ideas were shot down. They don't feel respect. And the other thing is young farmers tell me, Elaine, I don't want my parents to think I'm greedy. Well, that's your intent. And so in conflict resolution, your intent is your why. Why is this important for you to talk about your compensation or the equity or the transfer of the farm? Well, there's lots of reasons why. So sometimes I encourage young farmers to put their thoughts down on paper first as a letter to the parents, because you can use a Word document, you can wipe out sentences that don't sound right or feel right, and then you can actually, you know, do old school. You can actually deliver the letter and let the parents perk and ponder over what you are truly wanting to communicate with the intent of having better communication.
You've worked with many family farms. In your experience, what does a successful farm family look like?
So Peter Drucker, who is a management guru in the U.S., said culture beats strategy. And what that means is, how do you as a farm family, what do you truly believe in terms of your core beliefs? So in our family, honesty is a huge value, and teamwork. And so we keep short accounts and we're clear and direct with each other. I think Brené Brown said, being clear is kind. So the ability to know that you can ask for what you want or what you need without being pushed away would be a healthy core value, to be able to ask and to know that that was okay. The next piece of culture is how you behave. So I just want people to sit back and think, you know, yelling and screaming at each other is not normal. It's not good, healthy farm communication. Well, Elaine, that's just the way we've always done it. Well, too bad. It stops now. And I say to my families, I say, you get the behavior that you accept. So why are you accepting such bad behavior? And I have, when I pass my beanie bull around, my little ox bull here, you know, a farmer will say, well, Elaine, I'm not going to talk to you. I said, that's fine. If you're not going to talk, silence is actually, according to the people who wrote Fierce Conversations, which is a great book, by the way, by Kelly Patterson and a bunch of other people. In Fierce Conversations, silence is a form of violence. So you not talking to me and stomping away or giving me 2 days of not talking, that's no longer acceptable. I'm not accepting that. And then the third piece of culture is how you make decisions. And of course, Dr. Cole down at Virginia Tech, who is a speaker friend of mine as well, he does wonderful work, David Cole. In 1997, his grad student did a study of 400 farms across 6 states in the U.S., and what they discovered is that the families that have regular farm business meetings and good communication are 21% more profitable. So what would it look like to the Wisconsin farmers today, or anyone in America or Canada, to have profitability just because everybody knows what's going on decision-wise, because you're all talking? And you're not only talking, you're doing the other piece, which is 80% of good communication, is you're listening to each other. Because the people in this podcast audience right now are listening to these ideas and insights. Well, and after you listen, then you have to act. Because there's another Chinese proverb that says, talk does not cook rice. Right? My husband expects when he walks through the door at 5:30 that he's going to smell something cooking and that there's going to be a meal prepared. And yes, we have a very traditional household. He does not cook. I do. My son is a great cook. He's also the successor of our farm, but he doesn't cook anymore either because he has a wife and 3 kids who are doing the cooking. But just hold on to that thought. What you believe to be true, what do you value? So if you value sharing your intent, you value being respected, you value everyone in your farm business team having a voice, then you're going to encourage everybody to come to the table. But if you treat each other badly, you've got some conflict resolution to do, because you have to do some quick repair, as John Gottman would say, or you have to extend the olive branch and say, you know, we can't keep operating this way. We've got to clear the slate. We got to start fresh. This obviously is not working. We have to make some significant shifts here.
And that can be a really hard thing to talk about. So, you know, how do you get something like that started?
I call it kickstart, those conversations. And a lot of the kickstarting is usually around succession or farm transition planning. And so to kickstart, one of the tools would be what I mentioned earlier, is to actually write a letter and say, I'd like to block some time off to have a conversation with you, mom and dad. Here are the things I'd like to talk about, and this is why. So the why is explaining why this is so important to you at this time. We're in a situation now where we're doing everything digitally and virtually. So as a farm family coach, people can go to my website, farmfamilycoach.com, and just ask for a copy of Kickstart the Conversations PDF, and I'll send it to them, or Discuss the Undiscussable, which is what kind of what we're talking about now. I'm happy to send those resources to you. But really, it's the intention of wanting to be together to have those conversations. I highly recommend that they have a talking stick. And that just means that whoever holds that little stuffy or whatever your talking stick is, means that's the person who has the floor. And it also helps discourage interruption. Now, some of your families are just listening to this. They go, oh, Elaine, I could never do this. Okay. Then you invite a facilitator in. And because now we're doing things virtually, I do family meetings over Zoom. And I hold my bowl up in front of my camera. And I say, okay, Charlie, you've got the bowl right now. Charlie speaks. And then he says, okay, who wants the bowl next? And so you can still virtually have a facilitated meeting as well. The other thing I think the family wants to do to kickstart is to prepare guidelines. Like, so part of it might be an agenda of all the things that we need to communicate about. As a coach, I usually ask, what's the most important thing right now? You can't eat a whole elephant at a time, right? So you have to chunk it down. And in some families, that would be an agenda. So is the meeting, is it for the purpose of just clearing the air in terms of how the family is operating? What's the purpose? What's the intent of your meeting? So to kickstart that conversation, you need to get really clear about what you really want to accomplish. So I ask my families at the beginning of the meeting, what is your desired outcome for this meeting? And they'll say, oh, Elaine, we just need better communication. Well, okay then. Well, then let's start talking about what's working and what's not. It's also helpful if each couple who's coming to the meeting prepares as a couple. So together, are they united with what they want? Because if mom and dad as founders are at odds and they don't agree on what they want, you're not going to get very far in that meeting because they're going to have internal conflict between the two of them in the couple relationship and bringing that to the meeting. So I have another post that's quite recent on family meetings, but you really need to understand, is this an operational for how we run the farm kind of meeting? Or is this a strategic meeting for how we transition the farm? Or is this a family council about what's going on in the family dynamic? So it's helpful, I think, for listeners to understand that there's three circles of adventure, let's call them. There's the family dynamic. So there's the family circle of what's happening in the family. Then there's the farm business circle. And then there's this other circle called ownership and wealth, which is the circle of farm transition and moving assets around. And I often ask my digital audience now, think about Mickey Mouse. You give him a left ear for the family. The face is the farm because that's the really big circle. And then the other ear is ownership and wealth. And if you draw Mickey Mouse, you think, okay, are you having fun? No, Elaine, we're not. Okay, then what's the most important thing for us to talk about? Elaine, we need more respect. We need everyone to have a voice at the table. Okay, let's work on that piece first. And then let's also think about conflict resolution and coming from curiosity. And so another good way to kickstart a conversation is make sure you're well rested, make sure everyone's fed, and make sure no one's been drinking alcohol. You know, I'm serious, but booze as medication during stressful times is not helping farm families. And I did have a family meeting once where alcohol was consumed unbeknownst to me and things are spurted out or said. It's like toothpaste. Once you get that toothpaste out of the tube, it's not going back in, right? So I would also encourage you to kickstart conversations thinking about what's our code of conduct going to be. It's going to be respectful language. We're going to stay calm and we're going to stay in the room and we're only going to meet for an hour or we're only going to meet for 90 minutes, whatever the timeline is. We're going to be well rested, then we're going to take a break. The other thing is to really be clear about the order of priority. If you could only have an hour to talk about what you really want to talk about, what's at the top of your list? I have a saying, I think, I feel, I need, I want. I think, Dad, it's time that we start talking about our futures. You're not 21 anymore. I'm 35. According to Elaine Fraze, by the time I'm 40, I need to have power and control of my own destiny in this business. And you and Mom need to decide what you want. And I'm just curious, Dad, have you and Mom ever sat down to figure out what you truly want in your next role as you're letting go? Because I don't know, Dad. I can't read your mind. And another saying I have is love does not read minds. We have no idea what anybody is thinking, feeling, needing, or wanting unless they tell us. So another way to kickstart conversations is to also put your questions down on paper and ask really, really deep, open-ended questions. And don't prejudge the outcome.
As the family gets together for a big farm meeting, what are some of the do's and don'ts when getting together for a meeting?
Well, first of all, anticipating that these conversations, Morgan, are face-to-face. Because how you have the conversation is important, and being able to look people in the eye. So what you should avoid is body language that's negative, like pointing fingers at each other. Obviously, you should avoid yelling. It needs to be respectful. Sometimes people recommend you have these meetings in a neutral place. So not at the farm kitchen table where dad sits in his spot, mom's in her spot, and everybody kind of falls into default patterns of their family childhood roles around the kitchen table. So if I was going into a farmhouse, we'd have the meeting in the living room in comfortable couches in a circle. I also would have a flip chart, which again is a farm expense that I think every farmer in Wisconsin should go to Staples and get one for $200. Because when you have a flip chart, you can put the ideas on there and you can attack the issue without attacking the person. So you want to avoid disrespectful behavior. Like creating solutions is a positive conflict behavior, but you don't want to presuppose what you know the answer already is. And you don't want to finish other people's sentences. So a good thing to say is, tell me more. Or, I think this is what you're saying, but tell me if I'm wrong. Or, can you tell me in a different way? Or, do you have any idea, Dad, that by what you're saying, how hurtful that is? So the ability to express emotion, okay, you need a Kleenex box. You always should have tissues close by because there's going to be tears. And farm families that don't have a huge emotional intelligence factor and really need to work on that, because expressing emotion is a good thing. If mom's crying at the meeting, let her cry. That's okay, because what she's doing is she's venting emotion that's built up over decades. And she's finally relieved to be able to talk about the things that really matter. I, quite interestingly, have the gift of making men cry. And they say, Elaine, I've never told anybody else this. Well, that's fine, because I'm wired for empathy, but I'm also listening to them and they feel heard. So when people start to feel heard, you're going to have lots of emotion. So you have to have the ability to sit in that emotion and let it be. Now, the other thing that you should not allow is for people to leave the meeting or leave the conversation. And if they do need to leave the conversation, they should spend 5 minutes with whoever called the meeting, just kind of in mediation, we call that a caucus. But there needs to be, you know, okay, why are you leaving? Well, I'm so angry, I'm so upset. Okay, let's just call a bio break here. Let's have 5 minutes for everyone to go to the bathroom, get a cup of tea, get their water, have some snacks, and then we'll come back to this. So you need to agree that even when the meeting gets really heated, you're going to sit in that storm and it's going to be okay, because the underlying code of conduct is we're a family, we're a team, we're going to make this work. It's going to be hard, but we're going to get through this. And that's why I think people want to employ someone like me sometimes as a facilitator to stay in the meeting to help keep it safe and respectful and to keep that space for the family. So the things you want to avoid is flare-ups and explosion. But if that happens, you have a calm way of bringing people back to being present. And you also, you know, want them to be able to share emotion, but you don't want them to do it in a hurtful way. I mean, I was in a meeting once where a cowboy boot was thrown across the room and a few F-bombs went through the air as well too, right? And I don't have any tolerance for profanity at all. And again, if that's part of the culture of your family, my question is to you, why do you accept that? Because profanity does not pay, and there's a blog on my site about that as well. So you need to be really clear about the behaviors that you will accept, the ones you won't, and communicate what's working for you and what's not, or say, wow, Dad, you're really upset. I don't understand. What is this really about, Dad? He said, well, I don't want to tell you. I said, well, I kind of suspect that this doesn't feel very good for you, because when you were 62, you had a goal in mind that the farm would be worth so many millions of dollars and that you would start taking things a little bit slower and your back hurts and dad, you're just not happy, but we can't help you be happy, dad, if you don't tell us what's going on. So when will you be ready? Are you ready today, dad? Or do you want to talk about this next Friday? And that's the other thing you can do is when things get heated or if things get too overwhelming, there's a concept called the parking lot. And you say, you know what? We've chewed this through as much as we can for today. We're going to put it on the parking lot for the next meeting. We're not going to ignore it. It's not going to go away. But I think we all need time to cool down and revisit this. And you know what? We also should do some research about this because this is a really big decision we're making. So let's just go and gather some more insights and resources first before we pull the plug on this decision. So that's the other thing is farmers are very avoidance away from kind of behaviors. I have a friend, Shelley Rose Charvet, who wrote a very powerful book called Words That Change Minds. And just Google Words That Change Minds. And it's called Neurolinguistic Programming, but it's different ways that you can influence by your words. But farmers have a very huge tendency towards all or nothing thinking. It's either black or white, when a lot of times it's gray. And they also like to fix things and solve problems, which is why they like, you know, to put stuff, crop protection on their fields and biggity bang, it's taken care of. The problem with communication is that sometimes it's a journey and you never know what's going to unfold and you can't control the outcome because it's not just about you. It's about the whole dynamic of the family. So you need to be patient and you need to be kind. And you need to be hopeful that you're all there with the best intent to get a solution that's going to work for everybody.
When the family gets together, there are some different personalities that are also getting together with different communication styles. So how can you have a meeting with a good flow where all the personalities are heard?
Well, that's all about self-awareness. If people go to farmfamilycoach.com, right away, a farm family toolkit will pop up on my homepage. So I invite the listeners to go there to learn about their communication styles. It's a very simple tool to use that they can score themselves. Basically, there's four different styles. One of them is people orientation, which is what I am. So you and I, before we started this podcast, did a lot of visiting just to get to know each other better, which would be my style. My husband's style is called action oriented. He's very brief. He's very concise. Sometimes he doesn't use enough words, because his personal style is ambitious, determined. So he's a getter done, task-oriented kind of farm guy. My son is ideas orientation, which are an interesting group of people because people who have ideas want to tell you all about them and they want to give you the big picture without interruption. But my son's personal style is also called responsive balance. So he's very people-oriented like I am, and which is great on our farm for sales and customer service. Whereas my husband is, as I said, more task-oriented. The other style of communication would be process. And I bet that every Wisconsin farm woman who does the books is a process communicator as well, because she likes things to be organized. She wants them in orders. And don't do C before you've done A and B. So just understanding, I usually say, this is my key phrase, different is not wrong, it's just different. So if dad is a process person, he likes to think things over and ponder and perk about any decisions that you're putting on the table, you have to give him time. He's not going to buy a new tractor overnight, although some people will, right? But if they're process people, they want to know the procedures. And Words That Change Minds, the two differences is some people are very procedural, and some people are more options oriented. I'm an options kind of person. I can have ideas flying all through the air, as you can tell by the way I speak. And sometimes going on these rabbit trails really concerns people. Go, Elaine, I don't understand. You're not following the procedure. I said, no, because this is more important that we go down this path now. And trust me, we'll get back to the main event, but we're going to go a little bit sideways. So your communication styles will help you understand if you can just sense that the other person needs more time to process, or they need time to chat and they don't want to get into the main thing right away. The other piece is your conflict style. And I talked about the conflict dynamic profile tool that I can use for people, and it's done online. It costs about $35 US, and it's something you can do very easily for 20 minutes. And then you can find out what your positive behaviors are. So You know, do you create solutions? Do you adapt? Do you express your emotions? Can you put yourself in the other person's shoes? But it'll also tell what your hot buttons are. So my hot buttons are people who don't talk, who are aloof because I have no idea what they're thinking. And the other hot button for me would be people who say they'll do something and then they don't. They're unreliable. So your conflict style could be avoidance, which I would say 75% of the farmers in you all over North America are highly avoidant. Conflict avoidance is killing agriculture because when you can do conflict well, you're unstoppable. Another conflict style would be accommodating. And those are the people who say, yes, dear, yes, dad, yes, mom, yes, yes, yes. When inside it's killing them to say yes, but they're just saying, oh, he's only going to get his way anyway, so I'm just going to give in. And that's why I think divorce on farms is a factor when the woman who said yes, dear, for 50 years finally wakes up and has watched too much Oprah and she says, okay, I've had enough. And she wants the life she's always wanted. And she's not going to be accommodating anymore. That's not going to happen. Another conflict style would be competing, where it's a competition to see, you know, who succeeds more and there's no regard for what the other person needs. Another style would be compromising. And compromising is what may make the family work. But ultimately, in compromising, I don't think everybody is happy with what they really wanted. So the ideal goal in conflict style for communication would be collaboration. And that's what we're working in this podcast, is to have people think about what communication habits do I have that help me be collaborative? So one of them is the ability to ask for what you need, the ability to reach out, the ability to say, are you okay? The ability to say, do we agree on what we both want, which are in conflict resolution are the common interests. So if you take the picture of an iceberg or two mountains overlapping, underneath the iceberg where the pieces overlap is common interest. So what do you truly want in your farm family? Elaine, I just want my family to get along. Good. What are you going to do to change the way you react to people, the way you speak to people, the way you look them in the eye, so that you have better communication with them? Everybody gets to choose their response. That's conflict resolution 101.
And that's a good segue to our next question about when things get out of hand and how do you get everyone back to the table and back to talking again?
So first off is to breathe. Because when you, I actually have been in a scenario with two brothers where a panic attack was ensuing and the brother watching the panic attack had no, he said, are you having a heart attack? He said, no, this is a panic attack. This is what happens to me when you stress me out and you don't listen to what I really need. And so it was hard, but it was helpful for one brother to understand how much stress he was causing the other. So breathing is very important. Coming back to a sense of being calm. That's why the talking sticks I use are soft. Because another tool you might actually want to have some of those stress toys that they hand out at farm shows, you know, the ones that are kicking around your farm office. You might want to have something to squeeze so that you can get rid of some of that physical energy because your adrenaline is running. The other thing you have to remember is that when your adrenaline starts kicking in and your brain goes into flight mode or fight mode, is you're not thinking rationally. So what I do physically with my hands is I actually lower my hands down in front of the family and I say, whoa, we have to breathe here and calm down. We're all going to be okay, but let's just get grounded again and stay calm. And then who needs to speak? Who's ready to speak? And you also have to respect the timing, like I said, for process people. People might say, Elaine, I'm just too upset right now. I can't think about this anymore. I say, okay, then we're going to table it for the next meeting. And so what you really want is you want the most emotionally intelligent person in the room to kind of be the family coach. So if you don't have an external third party or somebody outside of the family in the conversation, it would be helpful if someone in the family had that emotional intelligence to say, hey guys, remember, we're going to stay calm here and we're going to focus on the issue and we're going to attack the issue. Do we need a break? And again, you may want to take a break and come back to it and sort of do a reset on how you do that. But I know that the other thing you need to also look at is your DNA of the culture of the family that you come from. and I'll try to do this without offending German people, Dutch people, or whatever in the audience, but there is a whole culture of conflict as well. So in German families, typically the DNA is very black and white, and there's a high degree of need to be dun 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 dun. In Dutch families, there's also a lot of competition and pride and stubbornness. And I say this clearly because I talked to a Dutch dairy farmer yesterday, and I say, it's not my intention to offend you, but I suspect that there's a lot of pride and stubbornness in your family. And he said, Elaine, how did you know? And I said, well, it comes kind of with your culture, you know. And I come from an Irish, Scottish, German background, and I married into the Mennonite culture. And so in the Mennonite culture, there's this being quiet and still in the land, which means if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, which is not helpful when people are bubbling up with lots of tension and they're just ready to pop with anger. So anger, I think, is also important because Dr. Dan Allender wrote a book, I think it's called The Wounded Heart. It's actually about child abuse, but he has a very good metaphor for how you understand anger. Anger is what's called a secondary emotion, but what's really happening is, are you hurt? Are you afraid? Are you frustrated? So if mom blows up in the meeting, you go, wow, mom, you're really upset. Are you hurting? Have we hurt you by what we've said? Are you afraid? What are you afraid of, mom? Or mom, are you frustrated? What is it? And for young farmers, they're just out and out frustrated because they can't dangle on the carrot anymore. They're tired of the promises. And like Jolene Brown says, a conversation is not a contract. So they're tired of talking. They want to see agreements in place. Dad might be afraid because a lot of founders are afraid of the failure of the farm, the legacy of the farm being disrupted and things not going well in terms of debt servicing and all of the challenges economically that the farm is having. So it's, if you can just in your mind's eye, put anger on the left side of the sheet and put hurt, fear, and frustration on the right side of the sheet, when things start going off the rails, you just say, okay, let's just calm down. What is this truly about? Are we hurting each other? And if I've hurt you, I didn't mean to, what do I need to do to make repair? How can I make this right? And Dr. Gary Chapman, the guy who's famous for the Five Love Languages book, he wrote another really good book on conflict called When Sorry Is Not Enough. And for some people, you can make amends in the meeting by verbally saying, I'm sorry I offended you. But you might want to go the next step and say, what do I need to do to make it right?
We hear about tough love or constructive criticism or giving honest feedback, but sometimes that doesn't go as planned. What do you think the best approach is?
Well, one really good question is, what would you like me to do differently? So taking self-responsibility for your behavior, being accountable for the choices you make, because Elaine Fraze can only fix or change Elaine Fraze. I have no power to change anybody else. And I've been accused of being a marriage counselor. So, and that's because, you know, you take personal responsibility for how you show up in the world, right? So a good question would be, what would you like me to do differently? Shelley Rose Charvet also says, another good question is, may I make a request? You know, people in old school have been told to use I messages. I. She says, no, it's more influential and persuasive if you say, may I make a request? May I make a request that when you're speaking with me, that you face me so that I can see your eyeballs? Because it's very disrespectful that you talk at me while you're walking away. And I actually had that incident with my father-in-law where I had to say, please stop, turn around, now speak to me. And don't you ever walk away from me again, talking at me as you're walking away. So again, asking for what you need. So may I make a request is a softer way to say, this is the behavior I would like to see. And, or the other thing is to use body language. Like you might want to make a T for a timeout and say, or you might even want to, you know, talk to the hand, kind of put your hand up and say, stop. I don't have the emotional capacity right now to deal with this. I'm really tired. And here's another really key question. Did you have a good sleep last night? How was your night last night? And especially in the stress of what we're going through right now and what I call the great pause, you really have to be aware of how other people are physically feeling. So if my husband's been out spraying at 5 o'clock in the morning, and or my son, we finished seeding, planting here on our farm on June the 5th and at midnight. Well, a couple of nights earlier, he was out till 4 in the morning. Well, I knew the next day that I had to extend more mercy and grace to my son because he'd almost pulled an all-nighter in the field. And so you really need to give grace and mercy to the people around you by even dealing with how what their physicality is. So you might want to, in terms of giving feedback, you might want to say, is this a good time for us to talk about this? And if the other person says, you know what, I can't really handle this right now, then you say, okay, when would be a better time for you? How about tomorrow at supper? Good. Or how about tomorrow after breakfast? Whatever. And again, food is an issue here because if people are hungry and tired, that's not a good time to talk about hard things. And the other thing you can do, especially with in-laws, is you say, may I make an observation? And so with my daughter-in-law, I would use that as an opening line to give her feedback. And if she said, yes, you may, or no, you may not, then I do give her the feedback or I don't. So the observation I might make for her is, wow, you're looking really tired. Would you like me to come over early tomorrow morning to be with the grandbaby so that you can have a little extra sleep? She said, yeah, that would be great. We all know, or many of us have heard about the sandwich method, about, you know, saying something good, putting the hard stuff in the middle and then saying something good again. I don't think that that's very effective. People don't like that because they know something bad is coming. So again, to give difficult feedback, you might say, my intention is not to cause you harm and not to aggravate you, but my intention is to make an observation, and this is what I'm observing, and this is how I see it impacting our farm. I don't know if you see it the same way. I'm curious, what do you think? And then you let them hear. I have a really good tool from Dick Whitman, who's a wonderful consultant in Idaho. It's Whitman, W-I-T-T-M-A-N, consulting.com. Dick's got a lot of great tools in his toolbox. And one I like to use of him is called 9.2, where you get people to self-acknowledge, what are the strengths you're bringing to this farm? What are your weaknesses? But the third question is the feedback question. How can management support you more? So when you're giving difficult feedback, you say, do you see this the same way I do? And they can respond. And then you can say, well, how can I support you more? Or how can management support you for this to have a better outcome? The other thing, we have to talk about mental health. I'm a postpartum depression survivor. I spent most of 1984 in a psych ward. I had 23 shock treatments, ECTs. I'm thankfully been healthy for 36 years. But because of my experience and because of my family experience with depression and anxiety, I'm very sensitive to talking about what is really going on. So when I see behavior in a farm family that makes me suspect that there's a physical ailment such as depression, and there's 7 kinds of depression, and right now we know it's rampant because so many people have so much fear and stress and anxiety that's not being managed well. Ask the question, do you think you might be depressed? Well, I'm not going to see a doctor. No, your behavior is indicative that something's not right. We need you to go and get physically checked out. And I have families that, quite frankly, I refuse to work with them until they've had an assessment, because just by the way they're communicating and showing up, I have a deep suspicion that mentally they're not in a good place. And when you're not mentally well and healthy, you can't communicate clearly and you don't make rational decisions. So I'm also here on this podcast to destigmatize depression and talking about mental health, because that's certainly a tough issue that is hard to give feedback on when people won't admit that they're not coping well.
That's such an important issue today. Elaine, what are some of the other ways to support family members during these challenging times where they could be suffering from what you're talking about?
One of them is to be present and ask them for what they need right now. And physical, like just going on a walk together, making sure that they're eating properly. Also reaching out for an emotional support group. I'm very sad that many farmers tell me they haven't talked to their best friend in high school since high school. So a lot of farmers have not paid attention to extending their emotional support network beyond the family of origin. And women, you know, and this is a gender thing, and I'm not trying to be sexist, but it's in my experience, women seem to be a lot more at ease about reaching out or asking for help or paying attention to keeping their outside relationships connected. So that would be one thing I think that would be really important to do. And the other thing for listeners is to know where your mental health resources are. So in Canada, in Manitoba, I live on mile 16, just above North Dakota, above the International Peace Gardens. But in our area, southwestern Manitoba, we have a crisis line we can phone, and then we can be referred to a mental health worker. And everybody can be part of that. So that should be something that's useful for them to reach out to. And again, the whole thing about mental health is we're all in a continuum. And so when it becomes too much, you need to walk alongside those. And you can say, how would you like me to support you? So ask open-ended questions. What would be most helpful for me to do for you or help you with right now? And if they say, I just want to be left alone, you say, well, go and get some rest. But when your brain is not well, it's not resting. And that's where you also need to have a shift in mindset to say it's okay to have medication. It's okay to have a counselor or behavior therapy. It's okay to talk to someone. And also knowing that you're taking steps towards creating a solution may also give some peace, because quite often after I've spoken, a young farmer will come up to me and say, Elaine, thank you for giving me back a sense of hope. And I think hope is my word. My first book is called Planting the Seed of Hope, because everybody needs to know that there is hope that they will get better. There's hope that their family dynamic will heal and can change for the better. And there's hope that we can communicate what's really going on and feel heard. So I think we need to think about what would give you a sense of hope. And it's not wrong to ask for help. There's this funky culture in agriculture that, you know, cowboy up or just pull yourself up by the bootstraps. That's a bunch of malarkey. Like, that's not helpful. I'm a permission giver, and I give every listener permission to ask for help and seek the resources that they need. If you have cancer, you talk about it and you go to the doctor. If you're diabetic, you take insulin. If your brain is not well and your mental health is suffering, you go to the doctor, you get treatment, you get medication, use talk therapy, whatever it takes. There's also a bright little yellow book called Feeling Good by Dr. David Burns. It's called the Bible of Mental Health. It's got a lot of great exercises in it too. So, you know, whatever resources you can collect to activate. But again, when people are really, really sick mentally, it's going to take time for them to get better. So this is not a quick fix.
Well, that's important to remember. And Elaine, thank you for the comments today. To wrap up our discussion, we know that everyone, you know, seems to have a story, an issue, or a challenge in their life. And they should know that they're not alone. And if they do need help, to reach out. Any final thoughts?
I just would like everyone to remember that being clear is kind. Ask for what you need. Take really good care of yourself so that your emotional well is full to be able to pour out into your family and the people who are important to you. And never give up. I usually close by saying it's your farm, it's your family, it's your choice. So make good choices intentionally. And I'm here to help empower farm families, to help them increase profit by being better communicators, and also help give them a sense of hope by securing their legacy. So just go to farmfamilycoach.com and ravage my website. There's tons of free tools for you there. And I am truly available to respond to the people who reach out on my contact page for the resources that we've mentioned. I'm here to help.
Well, thank you, Elaine, once again for all of those words of encouragement, and we hope to visit again.
Great. And I wish everyone a fabulous harvest 2020, but just take one day at a time.
That's Elaine Fraze, a Canadian farmer and farm transition specialist. Once again, her website is farmfamilycoach.com. The Wisconsin Farm Center with the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection provides an array of different services to farmers and farm families across Wisconsin, including farm mediation, financial planning, herd-based diagnostics, the Counseling Voucher Program, and much more. To learn more, you can call the Wisconsin Farm Center toll-free at 1-800-942-2474 or email them farmcenter@wisconsin.gov. Also, their website address is datcp.wi.gov. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Rural Realities Podcast.